for tuning in to the Illuminations podcast. We love having you here. It is our mission to be a beacon of light on your journey towards conscious and mindful living. In our weekly episode, we bring you inspiring change makers in the field of spirituality, healing, personal growth, and wellness who share their insight and expertise so you can navigate your way to a happier, healthier, and more purposeful life. On today's podcast, we have a very special guest, Dennis Liam Murphy, who is an entrepreneur, high-performance coach, and author of a revolutionary best-selling book called The Blame Game, a book that will revolutionize the way you think about healing and personal growth. His passion and purpose is to help people recover from the world's oldest addiction, blame. Dennis is a very, very special guest for me. He has been my personal coach, guide, friend, and mentor, and has been helping me navigate through probably one of the most challenging phases of my life. And today I'm so happy and honored to have him here on the Illuminations World podcast. What's even more interesting is that Dennis started his career here in Dubai with us at Illuminations, leading retreats in some of the most world's exotic locations, workshops, and one-on-one sessions. So today life has come a full circle, and I'm so happy to have the honor and opportunity to host him here on the Illuminations World podcast. What's amazing about Dennis is that I have witnessed him live, breathe, and walk his philosophy about getting completely self-honest. So without further delay, we welcome Dennis Liam Murphy.
Thank you, Sonia. It means a lot to be here. It really does.
Likewise. So Dennis, tell us a little bit about your concept of blame.
Well, you know that before I came to Illuminations, I was on this search for my own personal healing, and I just went around the world just having all these amazing adventures, but also having all these amazing healing experiences. And by the time I'd got to Dubai, I was feeling better than I did before, but I didn't really know what was still going on in terms of this thing called blame. And it wasn't until I started writing the book, which was about 10 years ago, that I started to see that word blame come up so much. But I was writing it normal, but I didn't realize I was addicted to blame. So when I'm writing it, it seems normal to put blame and divide things into good and bad and all of that type of stuff that I've written in the book. But it wasn't until I started to write and see it more and more and more that I had the epiphany that it feels normal to keep looking for something to blame. And then I realized that a lot of the healing modalities were built on that psychological model, which is let's dig into your past. Let's find that core issue, that peeling back the onion to find that thing, that so-called limiting belief, that self-sabotaging pattern, whatever you call it, to blame it for being the bad thing, the enemy, to then try and change it.
Right. And I mean, we blame our parents, we blame our childhood, we blame the stars, we blame our luck, we blame negative energy.
I had a client yesterday, interestingly, and she's been having about 5-6 sessions. And it was that point where she went, I realize I'm always looking for something to blame. And that's when I say that's the addiction. It's like an alcoholic always looking for that opportunity to have a drink. We're doing it all the time to get that blame fix. And one of the biggest places is I'm right, you're wrong. Right. And that's where we get our biggest, blame hit. And that is, of course, my parents are the ones that were wrong. I was right. You should have brought me up differently.
Right.
And that's the bit where that's the addiction. And then we try and change that and cover that up, when all we realize is we're just feeding the addiction on a daily basis.
Oh, wow. So, I mean, that really revolutionizes and conflicts with whatever the healing world talks about in terms of, you know, it's your childhood trauma, it's your past lives, it's your ancestral trauma. So what happens when somebody's going through a real life issue, right? So, for example, let's say if I am, like, addicted to alcohol, or if I am facing challenges in my relationships, how would your philosophy help me apply and heal myself out of the situation?
Okay, so what you know very well.
I do. Believe me, every time I have an issue in my life or there's any sort of confrontation of my issues, the first thing I think about is, what would Dennis think about the situation? Yeah. And I feel like I have your voice playing at the back of my mind always. So believe me, I know.
And it's because what I'm offering is actually really simple. It doesn't mean it's an easy journey. You know, that's why I'm saying the blame recovery process is not for the faint of heart, because it will be the first time you've ever actually self-healed and confronted your stuff.
It feels too simple, in fact, because I always feel like the healing journey has to be a struggle, right? I have to struggle to overcome all of what's happened in the last 30 years in order to feel sort of victorious and as if I've achieved, you know, sort of some sort of like emancipation from it.
And it's a great way of putting it, because what happens is you go, and it happened to me, I would go and see someone or I'd have a revelation and I felt, that's it. I've done it. And I felt great afterwards having someone tell me it was because of this or because of that. But I didn't realize that is like getting a shot of addiction, whatever that addiction is, because I got that intellectual stimulation. So my dopamine high hit was high. So I felt amazing for a day or two. And then the crash came. So it was like that healing didn't actually take place. All I learned was how to control it and contain it. And it wasn't until I realized that the process is actually simple. So one of the things I will say to you and everyone else so often is, you're getting caught up in the weeds of the story.
Right.
So all of that story that you've been trained to analyze and unpack and reprogram and rewire, you're getting caught up and you're ingraining the blame addiction.
So I love how you brought up, the concept of control, because I know we've had this conversation a lot, that what we think we're actually creating, we're actually controlling. So we're controlling, like if we feel a negative emotion, we're trying to control it by chant positive mantras or create these affirmations. So can you just elaborate a little bit about that for our listeners? Because, I mean, I love that concept that really has empowered me.
Yeah, and I realized as I was traveling the world that healing was another word for control. And that's all. So we were all getting healing and we were all feeling great, but we were just learning how to be more in that control and conquer way, where you blame something for being wrong and holding you back. Then you have all these different ways of controlling it and changing it, but you're missing the big point that nothing's broken here. And even neuroscience is telling you that your brain's malfunctioning. And then someone else will say your subconscious is there to hold you back and do anything it can to stop you from reaching your dreams.
Right.
And it's like, now you've learned how to blame yourself, the very thing you take everywhere with you, the very thing that's doing all it can to help you, and you're hating on it all day. So all the time you're trying to love yourself more, you're actually hating on yourself more.
That's insane.
And you're building up a bigger wall of control between you and your self-honesty. So now you feel lost. Now you don't know what you want. You don't have any passions. And by a certain age, you're like, I don't know what's going on. And that's when the depression hits and that's when you start getting really sad. But all that's really happening is your self-honesty is pushing through the control and saying, can you please listen to me? Uh-huh. I'm trying to help you, not hold you back.
So basically what you're trying to say is that when we're going through a challenging relationship, an alcohol addiction, we need to start listening. And that's such an important and key part of the self-healing process. I'd love if you could elaborate more on that.
If you just say to someone who has no idea of blame, and you just say to them, just go away and listen to yourself, they will say, great, I'm already meditating and I'm already... But even when you go down the meditation route, a lot of the time you're trying to control your thoughts.
Right.
And even if you're told that the thoughts come and go, you're still told by some of the big gurus that these are negative thoughts. And so you're already in that meditative state, scared. And you don't realize you're feeding your blame and control addiction now.
Right.
Where the listening, this new skill that you're actually learning is how to listen in a blame-free and control-free space.
Wow.
Well, it's a skill that we just don't do anymore. Right. So that's why when I'm talking to people, I had to learn over the years to actually listen to you.
Right.
Because I'm thinking about work, I'm thinking about what's going on in the next room, what's on my phone, what's on Instagram.
Right.
So we've lost that ability to give 100% focus without trying to blame or control or judge anything.
But I think the listening can be so uncomfortable. Like I know when I was going through a challenging like incident in my life, for example, the first thing I want to do is get over it. Like, I want to try to change it or fix it. Naturally, I'd want to do that. But I think what I found so challenging, being the control freak that I am, is I found it difficult to listen. But when I started to implement the listening and the imagination skills that you have introduced me to, I found such profound self-healing in that process. And so I'm so excited to be able to share that with, you know, other people today. So if you could just like elaborate a little bit more, because I know the wellness world is in the current state of forgiveness and hope and faith and, you know, all these really, really nice words and manifestation. And what you do is very unique, which actually gives results. So if you could just elaborate a little bit more about that, I'd be really excited for other people, you know, to hear your perspective on that.
Okay. So when I'd done...
And I must warn everyone, because this might be defying everything that you know, have learned in your religion, in your faith, in your philosophies. But I think this is really about getting honest. So here we are, and sorry to interrupt.
Well, since we're in the, you know, caveat, then the caveat that I've got is I'm not offering the truth.
Right.
You know, I'm offering an opinion. I'm offering an experiment that I've been playing out for the last 15 years. And the experiment is, if I become less of addicted to blame, I become less of a victim, and my life should get more effortless. Things should just start to become easier and easier. Because like any skill, the better you get at it, the less effort you need to put into it. Right. And that's the concept of when you get into your car, you don't think about driving anymore because you're so good at it.
Yeah.
When you learn a new language or an instrument, when you've put so much effort into it, then you need less effort. So at the moment, we've put loads of effort into becoming expert blamers, yeah, which comes with hardship, suffering and pain.
Right.
So I've had to learn a new skill. And that's what I take my clients through. That's the blame recovery process, is how to listen again to a point where your imagination kicks in. And that's because in the world that you're talking about, when there's forgiveness and hope and all these other acceptance and surrendering and all these other concepts, they've come from our past, from people who are unknowingly addicted to blame. So they're already dividing the world into good and bad, positive and negative, into those rigid black and white way of seeing the world. So all the time you're living those concepts, you don't realize that any work you do in terms of healing, you're chipping away at your self-esteem, your self-confidence again, because your even forgiveness means something's gone wrong.
Yeah.
So you've got to learn to control yourself enough to be able to forgive it.
Like another person wronged me,
yeah,
and I was right, and so I have the entitlement to forgive them for what they've done. So it automatically puts me in victimhood.
And it puts you in a hierarchical position where you now feel good and they feel good that you're amazing, that you've learned to forgive them. And so it creates that hierarchy then.
Right.
And that's fine, but it doesn't create healing. And obviously I've been on a journey that I was so bored of controlling myself, so bored of going up and down in terms of happy and sad, and it always felt so fake, but I didn't know what else to do. So then once I started to learn about this and I was realizing and teaching myself this, it was like a real tough journey. But I just learned that we just accepted what came before us.
Yeah.
But that's like the definition of insanity,
right,
that Einstein talks about. We keep doing the same thing, expecting different results. So I just went, I don't know if it's going to work, but I've got to do something different, because
yeah,
I've gone all in with what's already there and I'm not changing.
Right, right.
So that was the experiment. So that's when I sort of went, nope, I'm not accepting anything that came before. Nothing. And I started from scratch. And then that's when I kept saying, keep it simple. Keep it simple.
Right.
Just learn how to listen to the very thing, your mind, your body, who's talking to you every day.
And everything in your life is helping you to get self-honest. I know I find that very annoying, especially when I call you. You know, you're my personal coach,
yeah,
and I have gone through a very challenging couple of months. And I'm like, I call you as a friend and I say, Dennis, everything in my life is falling apart. I do not understand what's going on. I feel like everything's going wrong. And we always joke about it, but you have the new Murphy's Law, which says that when everything you think is going wrong, it's actually going right. And that really annoys me because I'm just like, what do you mean? And what I've realized from our journey together is that everything in your life is helping you to get self-honest. So if you could elaborate a little bit more about that. I know it's so hard to accept is a very scary word to say around you. It's so difficult to acknowledge when you're actually the one going through the situation. But it shows us that everything around us is helping us to get self-honest. And that's probably, it's so authentic, but at the same time, it's so challenging, you know?
So someone who's listening might say, oh, yeah, but that's the same as everything happens for a reason. And it couldn't be further from the truth, because that's just a coping mechanism. When you think something's gone wrong, you're trying to convince yourself that, oh, it's okay. You know, everything's connected. We're all one. And all of those self-help rhetoric comes out and it makes you feel better for a moment. But it doesn't last. And it doesn't actually create the healing for when, so you can experience what effortless living's like. So the new Murphy's Law is everything you think has gone wrong is actually here to help you. It's not, it's gone right. It's everything's here help you become self-honest and never hold you back.
I'm still a student.
A lovely one at that. And I wanted to create something, and it's a play on my, you know, my name, and the old Murphy's Law is everything that will go wrong will go wrong. And it was like the perfect thing to just play around with. And it just highlighted, because I want people to hear self-honesty more and more in their life. Because we've had so much stoic influence in terms of the law of attraction, where we're taught every day to be positive. And this hyper fake positivity we've been told to do has created a huge amount of dishonesty in us. So we're so afraid of that honesty that we've pushed under the rug. That keeps coming up, and we keep trying to push it down, when we've got to let it come up and now listen to it, because it's going to be relentless in its pursuit to help you, because that's what it's doing. Every time we think it's bad, negative, or wrong, and we're shoving it away, we're missing the fundamental purpose of being on Earth, which is to find out who you are. That's why we're here. If I'm sure there's other reasons, but that's, for me, is one of the main reasons. Who am I as an individual? Who am I as a species? Right. And that's when it gets more spiritual and esoteric. For me, it's like, once I know who I am, and is that, I don't know what that is. Right. But for me personally, I know it's when I was working in London's rat race for 7 years, going from one office job to the next. I felt like a caged animal. Mm-hmm. And then when I became an entrepreneur 19 years ago, it was like, that's when I realized that I was different. That's when I realized I was more of a rebel than I realized, more of a black sheep. I was the maverick. I was that crazy one that wants to change the world, and I'm not going to be happy just doing the mundane, normal stuff that I've been told to do. And I know you're one of those. And I know pretty much every one of my clients, knowingly or unknowingly, is the black sheep, and they're seeking me out, and I'm seeking them out because they're different. They're the black sheep of the family. And that means,
I think I'm the black sheep of my community as well.
It's a beautiful thing to say, because that's what's happening as well. And what those people have to understand is that they've got a sibling, for example, that is the perfect sibling. Right. They will do everything the parents do, say. They're controllable, they're malleable, they're making their parents happy by doing the job that they should do based on that stereotypical cultural requirement. And then there's others that are like,
poor parents.
Yeah, and it is on that level, because the parents, they're addicted to blame. They're victims and they don't know. Right. So they're trying to double down and control the black sheep, the rebel, and the rebel's fighting back. And it's like they're going to go through potentially a challenging journey, especially all the time they don't know this. So they're creating more and more extreme experiences and it's like, get honest. You're trying to fit in, but you can't. Right. You're here to trailblaze a different future. And that's when it all becomes easier and easier and easier, the better you get at getting self-honest and getting better at listening to the very thing that's helping you every minute of the day.
That's amazing. So tell us like a quick example of one of your clients and what they went through and how the blame recovery approach helped them to self-heal.
All right. I'm just trying to think if I would use another example that you've heard or a different one. I'll start with a common one that I use a lot as an introduction to my clients. Right. And because when I get to this part of the session and we're starting to touch on this whole thing of what is self-honesty.
Yeah.
And because everyone hears honesty, but they don't hear the self-honesty.
Right.
So they might even say to me, Dennis, I'm honest all the time and I keep getting in trouble because I'm always honest with people.
Right.
And I'm like, no. That's your blame addiction coming out and you're saying, you're the problem. You're the one that upset me. You're the one that's trying to hold me back. You're sabotaging me. And it's all, that's the honesty. It's just your blame coming out. But self-honesty is very different. So there's two parts to it. One, because we've been so fake positive for so long, as soon as you ask someone how they're doing, what do they say?
I'm good.
Everything's great. And it's like, I get it. That's
so
like,
people have been asking me that question recently. I'm like, I don't want to feel like I'm a victim. So I don't know really how to answer that question. But at the same time, I feel like I got to be honest. And when I'm actually honest, they're like, that's not exactly the response that we were expecting.
Right. But it starts for
you. You feel like you're offloading all your issues on the other person.
Well, then we can have a little session here. And it's about, you can say to someone can ask you how you're doing. And you can be fake positive. Everything's great, amazing. Mm-hmm. You could then tell your honesty in a really victim way. Mm-hmm. And start blaming everyone. I can't believe my mum's done this to me. My business partner's done that to me. Let me tell you what my brother, my sister has done to me. It's so horrible. And you get caught up in that victim story. Right. Or you can literally tell the truth in an empowered way, in a confident way, which is, I'm tired today. You know, or this has happened. The business deal that I was going for didn't go to plan today. And you can say it in just a factual way,
right,
with no victim behind it. No blaming the world for being unfair, for feeling like it didn't go to plan. And of course, that's my other phrase. Just because your conscious plan didn't come to fruition, your unconscious self-honest one did. And that's the bit we're not used to tapping into. So going back to an example, when my niece came to me when she went for her first job interview many years ago, she didn't get the job. And I said to her, very annoyingly, as you know, it's because you didn't want the job. She's like...
It's very annoying when you say that, it is.
And people don't like it at the beginning. It frees them later on. They feel so free once they get better at this. But at the beginning... I'm taking their alcohol away.
Right.
And it's like, you're completely addicted to alcohol. And then someone is saying, no, you can't have that drink. And it's like, that's the fight then. So I'm saying, you didn't want the job. And she says, well, I traveled an hour and a half to go to the job. I prepared for it. I did this, this, and this. Of course I wanted the job, Dennis. And I said, right. But here's what we're going to do. Why did you want the job? And what do you think she said? I want the money. And I went, that's true. That's your self-honesty. You want the job. But what are some of the reasons, possible reasons you didn't want the job? Let's get a bit honest. Get honest with yourself. If you could be really honest, what might you not want about the job? It was going to be a 3-hour commute. She didn't like that part of London. She didn't really like the building. She didn't really like the industry. And I went, you didn't want the job. You wanted the money. And why that's important, because if I didn't get her out of that, because she's saying to herself, I'm not good at interviews, I've got limiting beliefs, I'm sabotaging myself, I'm holding myself back. And I'm going, none of that's true. It's that you didn't want the job.
That's crazy.
And that is, because if I didn't, she would have gone into the next interview thinking she's not good at interviews. But I helped her realize, you're good at interviews, just the ones you want. And that's the bit that we're
so empowering.
Oh.
And that's why every time I speak to you, like, I'm always so, you know, I walk away feeling I mean, a lot of clarity and self-honesty.
And the better you get at that, that's when I call honest confidence. Right. It's like this honest confidence kicks in, and that in itself can feel strange. Because you're not faking it anymore. You're not having, your mind's quieter and it's no control. And that is weird when you first experience that. Mm. And then that's why I called it an addiction, because then it's like the path of least resistance is to have another drink. If it's there, if the opportunity is there, it's easy. Yeah. And so like any skill, you've got to put the time and the effort in to get good at it. And it's the same as, I don't know, what's a good example? Learning a new language. So you're going to learn Cantonese and you go to the restaurant to order your food, but you forget the vocabulary, and then you go back to English. It's just easy. Mm-hmm. And then before you know it, if you don't have to speak Cantonese, you'll keep speaking English and lose that skill.
Right.
So it's the same with blame. At some point, I saw the benefit, so I went all in. That's why I'm so extreme in the way I work with this, because I enjoy the effortlessness that comes with it. And I know if I'm faking or not, because I know what that's like.
Yeah.
And then I just look at my life, my body and my life, and go, am I lying to myself? Because if I'm lying to myself, my relationships are going to be stressful, my environment's going to tell me I'm not being honest, my body's going to be in pain. So there's your feedback all the time if you're being self-honest.
So to my last part, what are some of the tools that you can provide our listeners with to really help them get self-honest? Like a simple tool that you give me, which is so powerful. Apart from reading your book and, of course, the blame recovery process, which we're going to come to very soon.
Yeah. The thing I will get my clients to do is at some point, as simple as just, depending on where they're on the journey, and if they don't get something, because self-honesty can be really confusing. Yeah. And I can keep saying it, but it just takes time and effort to get what I'm saying. So in the first instance, self-honesty is you've got to be honest with how you feel. That's in its simplest form. I feel annoyed today. I'm feeling angry. I'm feeling frustrated. But what we do when we get those feelings, we do whatever we can to get rid of the pain. And we want to just quickly go and see our therapist, go and see our healer, and can you get rid of this for me?
Right.
And it's like, that's great. And there's a place for that, but it won't create the profound healing and the widespread impact. Mm-hmm. So when a client comes to me, and I wait for these moments, when a client comes to me and goes, my father's completely different. My brother is completely different. And it happened to me the last week where a client said to me, who was on a like fourth or fifth session, and she's very addicted to blame. Mm-hmm. And then the feedback I get is, Dennis, my brother has never been so nice to me in all of our 25 years of knowing each other. But I get what you mean now. When I honestly heal, I didn't say anything to him, nothing. He just started to be nice to me. And I'm like, because now you're understanding, he's reflecting back your self-honesty. Where he was reflecting back your blame towards him and your blame towards yourself and that hatred and anger you have towards everyone. And now that's less. He's just reflecting back the new confidence.
So the imagination exercise that you've given me, for example, is you got to get honest or self-honest with your, you know, with the way you feel. And then the next step would be, you know, working on the imagination exercises where you go to where you have this feeling in the body. And can you just elaborate a little bit more about that? Because that was that's such a powerful process that one can do on a daily basis.
Yeah. So once you've learned how to access what's under the rug, that self-honesty, that's super uncomfortable.
Yeah, it is.
Right? So when we do exercise, physical exercise, if you haven't exercised for a long time, you don't like it. And your body goes, no.
Yeah.
And then, as crazy as it sounds, you get to a point where you enjoy it.
Yeah.
You enjoy pushing yourself that extra mile on the treadmill, or you enjoy that extra set, or you enjoy those squats that you used to hate before, because you've just got used to it and you like the results.
Mm-hmm.
So you've got to see this spiritual healing in the same way. Mm. And when I take you through the blame recovery process, it might be the first time you've actually started to heal. Because all I'm not going to give you any control tools, no coping mechanisms to be able to make yourself feel instantly better. I'm going to go, you got to go into it. And it's not a crazy concept. Rumi says, you know, you'll find the healing in the pain. So it's not like it's a new realization, but it's like people don't do it. And they go into the pain looking to stop it.
So you're reminding us with what we've known, but we seem to have forgotten.
Only some of the stuff, because it would still be a lot of the ancient, even though there's obviously wisdom there, they're still addicted to blame without knowing it. And that's why they're still going to be dividing experiences up into good and bad, and positive and negative. So the real skill here, that's why I sort of went into the imagination so much, is because of the time I spent with shamans, and they're off in the cosmos. You know, whether they're using plant medicine or drumming, they're in a different realm. They would call it one thing, and I just went, well, I'm working with the corporate world now. I need to come up with a different word. So I went imagination. And it was like, it works. But then you've got to realize what the difference between visualization and imagination is. And we've been taught to primarily visualize. Right. And again, that's what things like the law of attraction has helped us with. And again, it works. For a short period of time. And then people double down on that visualization, and then it doesn't work anymore. And then they get frustrated why it's not working. And then they get told that they're not enough in the emotion of it. And there's always an excuse. The fact is, it just doesn't help with healing. It's a short-term coping mechanism, which again has validity.
And why it doesn't work is because they're not self-honest.
Because you're blaming the thing. You're in a negative situation, which is blame, because blame is literally you think something's gone wrong. Mm. That's the definition of blame. Okay. So as soon as you think something isn't going to plan, something's wrong, something else should be happening, you're in blame. Mm. And that's now really stressful, because you're now in that black and white way of thinking, looking at the world, and you can't see any other possibilities.
No, that's crazy.
So the way once I show you how to get better at imagination, because imagination is like dreaming. When you dream, there's no control, there's no blame. Mm. That's why you get access to all the weird and wonderful stuff when you're asleep. Yeah. So then when we replicate that when we're awake, and we can watch and feel our body in a blame and control-free space, then our imagination kicks in. Wow. And that is one of the secrets of healing, is your imagination is designed to heal you. And we just don't know how to access it, because we've been taught to control, which is visualization.
Crazy. Well, Dennis, we can go on for hours and hours with this conversation, but I feel like we are running short of time. Okay. And before we leave, I'd like our listeners to know more about how they can reach you, about a little bit about your book, and last words of wisdom.
Okay, so I have my Instagram, which is something that I'm working on myself, which is self-promotion. And obviously on LinkedIn, and there's probably the two, you know, places.
And your best-selling book. Can you tell us a little bit about that?
Yeah. So that was amazing. And so it came out on the 11th of May. It
What's
was
the
out
name
before.
Of the book? What's the name of the book?
It's The Blame Game, How to Recover from the World's Oldest Addiction. Okay. Because I am saying this is an addiction we've had for thousands and thousands of years. And I'm suggesting that it literally gets passed down effortlessly from one generation to the next. Right. And so the kids that are being born are literally born in this world of blame and victimhood and fear and anxiety, and they don't even know. Mm. So that's what the whole book's about, is an introduction to blame addiction. And
that's available on Amazon and Book Depository.
Book Depository is no more. So at the moment, it's amazon.com and amazon.co.uk.
Amazing. Thank you so much, Dennis, for being on the podcast.
Thank you.
We have learned so much. So, guys, if anyone would like to learn more about Dennis, they can contact him. But that's all for now. Thank you so much for listening. And we hope to see you soon again on the Illuminations World podcast. Take care.
Thanks so much for listening. If you enjoyed this episode, we'd love to have you tune in again next week as we discuss more engaging topics on relationships, health, career, self-care, and spirituality. If you'd like to help support this podcast, please share it with others, post about it on social media, or leave us a rating and review. We'd be extremely grateful. To catch all the latest from us, you can also follow us on Instagram at Illuminations World or visit the Illuminations World YouTube channel for more inspiring content. See you again next week, and until then, live light.